Let's now pray and ask the Lord to bless us as we consider his word. Father, I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts who are gathered here in your presence this evening, that they would be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And I ask this through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of our rock and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. You've likely been to a wedding where this moving passage written by the Apostle Paul has been read. Perhaps it was even read at your wedding. The danger of this practice, which is so normal in our cultural context, is that when this text is read in that setting, in the setting of a wedding, it runs the risk of being terribly misunderstood. Because when you're a young groom or bride at the altar and you're gazing into your almost spouse's eyes, and you hear this text being read and those words being read, it is absolutely natural to be tempted to assume, just for a moment, that Paul is speaking directly to you. That 2,000 years ago, in his infinite wisdom, the Holy Spirit must have given Paul a special vision of your wedding. Because it is, of course, the best wedding so far in human history. And you begin to imagine that Paul was inspired to write those words about the love your spouse has for you. Or even worse, the love that you have for them. Now, the only trouble with this kind of ecstatic vision is, as you will discover within a few months or a few weeks or perhaps that very same night, the love that exists between you and your spouse, however rich and satisfying it is, does not in fact bear all things. It does not believe all things. It does not hope all things, and it does not endure all things. Indeed, sometimes all that it takes to throw off your love is a short-tempered word or a misunderstanding or a petty conflict. And then, in a more difficult way, you will also discover one day that it is also not true that your love never ends. Now, this reality is embedded right there in the vows themselves that men and women say to one another, man and wife say to one another, though it's the last thing that we want to think about in the midst of a wedding. Until death do us part, we say. And with those words, we acknowledge, if only barely, if only tacitly, that our love may last, at best, if we are humble and lucky and forgiving, 5 or 6 or perhaps 7 decades even before it ends. Until death do us part means there will be a parting for our love. There will be an end. That our love will not endure forever. And all of this is true, of course, not only for the love between a man and a woman, but also for all human loves. It's true for fathers and for mothers, for sons and for daughters, for brothers and sisters, for friends and for neighbors. We love, yes, and sometimes we manage even to love well, but still we fail one another. Still we betray one another. Still, in the end, we die. So given all these things, what does the Apostle John mean then when he writes, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Jesus loved them to the end, John says. But to the end of what? To the end of himself? To the end of his own strength? To the end of his life? Yes, of course, all that and more, as Jesus begins to show them the end of his love. by kneeling before his disciples with a basin and a towel. As Jesus shares with his disciples the bread and the wine, as Jesus teaches his disciples the mysteries of the kingdom and of God on their last night together, as Jesus leads his disciples out into a garden where he knows that he will go on before them alone. He loved them to the end, John says. And of course, those prophetic words find their most immediate fulfillment when, dying on the cross, just before he gave up his spirit to the Father, Jesus cried out in what must have only been victory, "It is finished." This dramatic, majestic moment on the cross, this singular act of passion, this faithful and innocent suffering, it was surely, if ever there was, a worthy end, a worthy fulfillment of the potential of love. But as the disciples would discover, only a few days later, huddled behind locked and barred doors, somehow, inexplicably, not even the cross, not even death, was the end of Jesus' love. Now, when John said that Jesus loved his own who were in the world to the end, he meant an ending beyond even death itself, an ending that was further than any love had gone before. The last verse of the Gospel of John is perhaps my favorite verse in all of the Scriptures. I love it because of the way that it encapsulates the person of Christ and his power and his love. This is how John closes his story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, his gospel. He writes, "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." The world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Now, there was once a time when I thought this final parting comment from John was an obvious example of hyperbole, right? An example of exaggerated language for dramatic effect to resolve the argument of his gospel. But as I grow in my faith, as I know Jesus more and more, as I read the Scriptures more, I no longer believe that this is the case. No, I think that John is in dead earnest here when he says that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written of Jesus and the things that he does in his love. Because you see, the world, after all, is finite. It is theoretically possible to fill the world with books. You can measure out the borders of the world. We've done that. You can do the math and equate just how many books it would take to fill it. It would be a lot of books. It would be a lot of books. But still, inevitably, the number of books at some point would come to an end. There would be an ending. And the same is not true of the love of Jesus. You see, John tells us that having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus loved them to the end. And I think if we read that statement in the context of all of the Scriptures, as we should, we will see that what John was referring to was not only what Jesus did that night for his disciples with water and a towel, was not only what he would do for them the next day on the cross. It was not only even what he would do for them 3 days later when they found him suddenly alive again in their midst. No, I think that when John says that Jesus loved them to the end, he was speaking of a reality that would be fleshed out in the words of another apostle, an apostle who was untimely born. An apostle who would put to death men and women who Jesus loved. until finally he himself was struck blind on a road and then inspired to write these words. Words that were not ultimately about love as a concept, not about love in the abstract, but I think about love as a person. He would write, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." The world cannot hold the books that would be written regarding the love of Jesus for this simple reason. He loves his own to the end, and his love never ends. Those two facts together combined equal a world that could not hold the books that would be written of his love. You see, even on the day when our present existence in this world will come to an end, even on that day when death itself is defeated, when the dead will live again and rise from their tombs, even on that day his love will not end. It will go on and on before us, stretching out further than we can see, like the horizon, as far as eternity itself. And every time we eat this meal, every time we take the bread and the wine in our hands and eat and drink according to his commandment and sing together just as he did that night 2,000 years ago with his disciples, when he began to fully love them to the end, we participate in that same love. That love of Jesus that never ends. That love of Jesus that has never ended and never will end. The love of Jesus of which the world itself is not large enough to contain all the books that could be written. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.